just a little bit. It's good to be here tonight, and I've looked forward to coming and being in the service tonight. I'm a little bit nervous, so you just pray for me, please. I thought I'd get over being nervous one of these days, but I found I never do. All right, y'all ready? I want you to turn 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Find Hebrews and go backwards to Philemon and Titus. There's 2 Timothy. Find Romans. Go 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Cut my mic on. You might have to help me, Brother Ray. Now am I on? No? I don't know how this thing works.
I'm sorry, I didn't tell you.
Now I'm on.
Need any water?
Huh?
You need water?
No, I don't think so. Now I'm on. Whew. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's pray. Father, I need grace tonight, and I need your help. And I pray that you'll speak to this people and encourage them tonight. And may we leave saying that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And show us something from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, being Bible school, I was going to do a little teaching, but I'm going to preach while I'm teaching. I want to read the whole chapter. And I didn't want you to stand while I'm reading the whole chapter, because I know some of you get tired. But I wanted to read the whole chapter. May I? After all, this word is inspired by God. We're illuminated by God, but this is inspired word of God. And you know, there'd be nothing wrong with just coming sometime reading the whole scripture. Just read. And let God speak to us through it. But I do have a few points tonight I want to bring out from this passage. Remember, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Amen. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows us. He likes us. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are some, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I want to preach tonight. We have a godly heritage. Pass it on. We have a godly heritage. Pass it on. Paul uses seven figures of speech in this passage of Scripture. Seven figures of speech for believers. And these seven figures of speech show us what our actions and our duties as Christians is. First of all, and I want to get out, I'm supposed to be done by 15 after 8, and so we'll preach and I'll try to get through all of them if I can. There's seven. First of all, he speaks of us as a son. Hey, I'm a son. I'm a son of God. Yeah, I was born to a carny creature back in 1945. I was a 10th child of carny creature. I was the fifth child of Judy Critcher. My dad had 10 boys, and we all had one sister. 10 boys and one girl. My birth certificate says that my dad was Carney C. Critcher. My birth certificate says that my mama was Judy Ellen Thompson Critcher. Born 10:30 p.m., August the 20th, 1945. I don't care what I do, I'm his son. I don't care how I can go change my name to Stuart, but I'm still a Critcher. I got Critcher blood flowing through me, and I got Critcher temperament flowing through me, and I got Critcher stubbornness flowing through me. And I got Critcher temper flowing through me. And I can't get rid of it. My mom was stubborn, and my dad had a temper. My dad told me one time, he said, "David Critcher, you're the most stubbornest thing I've ever seen in my life. When you make up your mind, you ain't going to do something." Well, there's some things to be stubborn about. And this ain't part of my message. But I tell you one thing, there's some things I'm stubborn about. I'm stubborn about my stand on the Word of God as the King James Version of the Bible. I'm stubborn on it. I will not move. I'm stubborn. Talk to me about the others, but after you talk to them, talk about them, I find they're all wrong because I'm stubborn. Yeah, there's some things you need to be stubborn on. I'm stubborn about the doctrines of the Bible. I know where I stand, and I stand there firm. And I ain't going to change. I'm getting too old to change. Amen. I was a son of Carney Critcher, But over 50 years ago, there's a transformation took place in my life at Vacation Bible School on Friday night around 15 till 9. That night I became a child of God. I can't explain all that happened. All I know is, Brother Ray, that there's a little creature that came to him and simply believed that he died, that he was buried, that he arose. And a simple, childlike faith just simply believed him. And folk, he saved me. I didn't shout. I didn't run. But there's a big smile came across my face that night. Because Jesus Christ had moved in. And I knew when I left the church that night that I was a saved creature. I was a brand new creature. A brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I can't explain it all. I've been trying to, but I can't explain it all. It was just childlike faith that Jesus saved me by His grace. I didn't pray through. I didn't give up. I didn't let go. And I didn't do 10,000 other things that they say you've got to do in order to be saved. I just simply believed. And I believe that moment a person believes. Whatever kind of state they may be in, that moment they believe from right here, God saves them right then. You know what? I believe most people are saved before they even get out of their pew and get down the aisle. I really do. That moment that they just simply believe. That's what He says, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God's raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God saved me and made me a son. I got news for you tonight. I don't know how to live the Christian life. I wish I did. I don't know how to live it. Paul said in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, live by the grace of God. And what I'm saying to you tonight is we need to live the Christian life by grace. We're saved by grace, we need to live it by grace. It's not a rule or set of rules and regulations of this and that and do this and do that and do the other and don't do this and don't do that. Just live it by grace. And if we find the Word of God and we read it, He'll show us how to live. And He'll convict us about some things. Amen? And He'll show us that some things are wrong. Are you living the Christian life? Well, just live it by grace. Live it by grace. Now, you know what? As a son, anybody here ever do anything wrong as a Christian? We got anybody here that's ever done anything wrong as a Christian? I had a lady tell me one time, way back yonder, when I was just a young preacher, she came up to me and she pointed her finger down in my face. She was a big woman, I was a small boy. And she looked at me and she said, I want you to know, David Critcher, I ain't sinned in 40 years. I smart aleck then. I looked at her, I looked back up at her and I pointed my finger in her face and I said, you just did, you lied. We all do things wrong, don't we? We all do. The Bible says, John said in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the truth is not in us. God said it, I didn't say it. Every one of us do things that are wrong, don't we? As a child of God. What do you do when you do something wrong as a child of God? Same thing a child does when he does something wrong. Huh? Come up here, son. Come up here, son. Come up here, son. Can I use you? Boy, you look smaller in that seat. I want to know, have you ever done anything wrong? Huh? You have. I'm going to give you the best advice that you'll ever get when you do something wrong and you're going to get a whooping. And parents take their belt off to get ready to whoop you. If you don't want it to hurt so bad, you nudge up right close to them, just as close as you can get to them, and look up to them with them big sad eyes and say, Daddy and Mama, I'm so sorry that I sinned. I'm so sorry that I did something wrong against you. And when they get ready to whip you, see, they can't get the belt back. Can they? Can't do very good when you get it this close, can you? Right? You know, that's what we'll do when we sin. We just or nudge up real close to the Lord. Get up close to Him and say, Oh God, I'm so sorry. I've sinned. I told a lie. I was mean to my husband. I was mean to my wife. Lord, I didn't read my Bible. I didn't study. I didn't pray or whatever. 10,000 other things we may do. And you know, the closer you get to Him, see, the whipping will hurt as bad. Because if you're His child, you're going to get a whooping. He only whips His own because you're His son. And He whips you because He loves you. And you understand it now. But one of these days, when your parents whip you, they say, we whip you because we love you. You don't understand that now. But one of these days, you'll understand it. That He whips us because He loves us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, son. Good illustration, isn't it? You ever get a whipping from God? You ought to praise Him. I worry about a person that calls themselves a Christian and they never have to come to an altar and pray. They never have to get along with God. I worry about them. You know, sometimes the best Christian in the church is the ones that have to spend a lot of time in the altar saying, Oh God, forgive me. And I've got one other thing to say, then I've got to go to my second point. The closer you get to the light, the more light you have, the more you see things that are wrong in your life.
Amen.
And the more God convicts you about things, the more light you have. I'm glad I'm His son. Amen. Be strong in the grace and live by the grace of God. And stay close to Him. Then there's something else that He commands us to do in verse 2. We have a responsibility as a son to instruct our children on what we've learned. Brother Ray, you got two responsibilities. You got a responsibility to tell your children and then tell all these young preachers and all these folk in your church and commit to faithful men what you've been taught. And then you take what He's preached, and you teach it to someone else. We have an awesome responsibility as a child of God that we share with others what we've been taught as a son. You know, most Christians are like the Dead Sea. They're always taken in, but they never give out. And they're stagnated. It's only done us some good when we give it out. Amen. Thou therefore commit to faithful men what we've learned and what we've been taught and teach them to others. Pass it on. Secondly, not only a son, but a soldier. Now, I wanted to go to the army and they called me. to come and be examined. And they didn't want me. They found I had a heart murmur, but they didn't turn me down because of that. But they kept looking at my left eye, Brother Ray. They took me out of one line, put me in another line, and a doctor came by, and every one of them, they looked in that eye, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked. And they put me in another line and said, get over here, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked. And finally, when it all came out, they said, we don't know what's wrong with your eye, but there's something wrong with it, and we're going to turn you down because of what's in your eye. And we don't know what it is. And I didn't know what it was either. And I know I had a disease of my eye that would require a cornea transplant until 2 years later. I'd love to have gone to the Army. I'd have probably wound up in Vietnam. I may not have been here today, but you know why? I love my country. I love America. I fought for her. I want the freedom of every person in America. Freedom to speak. Freedom to have guns. Freedom to preach. Freedom to live our lives without interference from the government. I'm an American. I'm a red-blooded American. I'm a blue American. I love America. I'll fight for her. Amen. I talked to a Mormon Jehovah's Witness one day. He said, we don't like your religion. I said, well, I don't like what you teach either. But you better thank God for Baptists. If it wasn't for Baptists, you wouldn't have freedom to worship the way you do. I said, I don't agree with what you worship, but I'll fight for your right to worship your way. Amen. God says that we're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, you folk that's in the Army, you may have to help me just a little bit here, please, because I wasn't there. But as a soldier, we are in a battle, aren't we? Huh? Doesn't every soldier train to be a warrior and to fight? Come on now, help me. Help me. Isn't that what they're trained for? Don't you go train to fight? Don't you? We're in a battle. It's not a battle between us, but it's a battle with Satan. And Satan is real, and his imps are real, and his demons are real. And I would that I could fight them with my fists, but I can't. We're in a real battle today. A real fight today. We are. Brother Ray is telling you that Linda and I will be moving in a couple weeks to Lynchburg. Back in December, I went through 4 days of depression. 4 worst days that I've ever spent. But during those 4 days, Brother Ray, the devil and all of his imps, it seemed like every imp he had came out against me. I couldn't pray. I couldn't sing. I didn't want to see nobody. I didn't want to be around nobody. I didn't want to eat. I lost 11 pounds in 4 days. And I don't have many pounds to lose. I couldn't sleep. When I left the house, I didn't want to come back home. When I got there, I didn't want to leave. Never been in such a shape. It seemed like every imp was fighting me, was against me. I'm glad God finally showed me how to get out of the depression. And I got out of it. But then after I got to looking back, during those 4 days when I couldn't pray and all I could do was grunt and groan, God was hearing my grunts and groans. And even though I was in the deepest valley, I found myself still standing and still trying to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, fighting Him, fighting Satan and his imps. See, as soldiers, we're marching, aren't we? If you march, you got to march in. You got to march in line, don't you? Huh? I probably wouldn't make a very good soldier. When you march, you got to carry your sword. Here's our sword. Here we are, marching, soldiers of Jesus Christ, holding up His sword. We need some folk today that will get in the battle and march straight. We got too many that, well, I just don't like doing that, and I don't like the way they're doing that, and I don't like the way they're standing, and I don't like the way they're preaching. So we'll just compromise. We won't stand for the book. We'll use something else. We won't stand for the music of the old way. We'll get something else. And they're falling by the wayside. We need some soldiers that get in the battle. Hold up the old book. Hold up the standard. Get in there and march as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen! And as a soldier, you got to be strong. That means you got to exercise. Right? How do we exercise? Well, I got 2 or 3 thoughts I might throw in here. We exercise by reading the Bible. Last year at my camp, I went to camp, my camp, and I started playing softball with my kids. And Brother Ray, I couldn't even throw the ball from pitcher's mound to first base. I said, oh my, I'm in bad shape. I can't even throw the ball. I can just barely pitch the ball. I could run. They had no trouble running. The thing was throwing. I said, I'm going to have to do something. So I went home after my camp, and I had some weights, and I started lifting weights. Every day I started lifting weights. I said, I'm going to be ready when I get to South Carolina camp. I ain't going to go down there and be an old wimp, and I can't even throw the ball from the pitcher's mound to first base. I said, I'm going to. So I got to lifting them weights and lifting them weights and lifting them weights and lifting them weights. And when I got to camp down there in South Carolina, we got to playing ball. And lo and behold, I could throw it from pitcher's mound to first base. And before the week was over, I started playing first base. And one day, I threw it from first base to third base. And I said, what a victory I've won. I can throw it now from first base to third base because I was exercising. And if we'll read the Word of God and study the Word of God, we can be strong soldiers for Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes just as I was lifting the weights every day, it takes us getting into the Word of God. And I'm going to preach my pet peeve. And my pet peeve is that every Christian needs to read the Word of God through, from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Amen. You need to read it. You cannot be strong in the Word of God until you read it. Read it. Read it. Amen. Be surprising what will jump out at you every once in a while when you read it. Read it. That'll make you strong. That's like pumping iron to make you strong and make a good soldier out of you. Read it. And stand firm. Don't get entangled with the things of the world. We're in a spiritual battle. We need some folk that read the book. Thirdly, I still got a few minutes. Thirdly, not only a son and a good soldier, but we're an athlete. Look at it, please. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. If we're going to play athletes, you know what we have to do? We have to play by the rules, don't we? Have to play by the rules, don't you? Every football player has to play by the rules. Am I right? Every basketball player has to play by the rules. Unless you're LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I don't watch basketball too much, but I can't stand. I don't like big league basketball too much because I used to watch Michael Jordan play, and that boy would walk almost every time he got the ball, and they wouldn't call it on him. And you know what? Old LeBron James does the same thing. I'd see him walk with the ball, and they wouldn't call it because he is a big name. I'll tell you one thing. I don't care who he is. You're going to win lawfully. You got to strive lawfully, and you got to play by the rules. We have a rule book as a Christian. That's God's Word. We're in a race. We need to play by the rules. We need to play to win. May I say something else? I tell you, if you're going to play, if it's worth playing, you need to give it everything you got. And play to the best of your ability. When I get up to play ball, and I'm 63 years old, but when I get up to play ball and I get ready to bat, I just don't stand there and say, well, now I'm old. I don't think I can hit too well. No. I want you to know, my dad taught me when I was growing up, if you're going to hoe cabbage, hoe it with everything you got. If you're going to hoe taters, hoe them with everything you got. If you're going to plant taters, plant it with everything you got. If you're going to milk the cow, milk it with everything you got. If you're going to play ball, get in there and play. I tell you one thing, when I play softball, I play to win. I don't want to lose. I want to win. And I don't want to just hit a one base hit. I want to hit a home run. Every time I come up to bat, I want to hit a home run. My arms sometimes won't let me, but I want to hit a home run. I get up there, I'm ready to go. And when I hit it, I'm ready to run like the devil's after me. I want, in other words, I won't give it everything I got. Amen? We won't come to God's house and the things of God and give it our second best. If it's worth doing for God, it's worth doing with every fiber of your being. Amen. Amen. I know you all got a great choir here, but you know it could be a little bit better if every choir member give it everything they got. Amen. You see, when you sing, you don't sing from up here. You sing from down here. You sing from down in here and then get it all the way up here and then let it come out. Amen. I think if we're going to do anything for God, we'll do it with everything we got. That's why when I do camp, I do it with everything I got. I do it with everything I do it with every fiber of my being. When I sing, I do it with every fiber of my being. I know I got a big mouth. The Lord made me small, but He gave me big lungs. So I use them. Amen. Amen. I'm tired of Christians. I'm tired of Christians just piddling and just dibble-dabbling. I think if you're going to do it, folk, you need to do it with every fiber of your being. We're athletes. Get in there and run. Run to the best of your ability. Run to win. Run. And then there's one other thing. As an athlete, we need to be ready to finish it. And give it and go all the way. Well, Ray, a lot of preachers quit. They fell by the wayside. It breaks my heart when I see them give it up. They can't take it no more. I don't know about you, but when I got in it not to quit. I know the devil comes and he fights us and he gets us depressed and gets us discouraged. But I'm in it until the Lord comes. You know what? You remember old brother Jeff Akers? He preached till he was 115. I'm aiming to keep track. I don't know whether the Lord let me live that long or not, but I hope He will. I hope I can preach till I'm 115. And by the way, if I live to preach till I'm 115, I will have preached 100 years. You say, preacher, don't you plan to retire? I hope not. I'm not going to retire. I got this thing to finish and do the best I can. Old J.F. Akers, when he was 105 years old, he could flatfoot a stand this high. That means he could jump it flat-footed. 105 years old. God gave us some people, some preachers that will stay in there until the fight's over. Brother Ray, we need to stay in. Amen. How about you as Christians? We're athletes. All right. Some of you, I've lost you. I'm sorry. Not only an athlete, not only a good soldier, not only a son, but we're farmers. He talks about a husband. Now, I like being an athlete, and I like being a soldier, and I like being a son, but I know more about farming than I do any of it because I was raised on a farm. We grew cabbage and potatoes, and corn, and I had to get up every morning and milk cows. Feed cows and turn out cows. And I went to school many a time with cow manure on my shoes. And got on the bus with cow manure on my shoes where I turned out the cows. And stinking, you know. I thought that's just normal way of life. You know how to have a good crop of taters and corn and cabbage? First of all, you got to pick a field, then do some plowing, and then some disking, and some harrowing, and get the ground ready to plant. Did you know? Well, wait a minute. Let me go on. Then after you get it ready to plant, we had a thing that we laid off the rows with. And then we cut our potatoes. Make sure every tater had an eye in it. And then get ready to drop them. And we'd put 50 pounds of potatoes on our back and go out the row dropping just like this. My brother and I could drop a bushel of potatoes in 5 minutes. My brother John. Good farmers. Then we'd cover them up and put the fertilizer on them. Then we'd go in there after they started coming up and ridge them up. And then we'd have to go in there and do some hoeing. Now, what if we did, what if all we done, we just went out there and threw all the potatoes out in one pile? We had to do some planting. Listen, God's made us farmers. We're not farming for potatoes or cabbage or corn, but we're farming for souls. Every soul that is saved is a missionary. And every soul without Christ is a mission field. Our mission field. There's possible reaping there, but you've got to do some planting. If you're going to have a harvest, you've got to get out and do some sowing and planting and plowing. You know what? I believe before you never reach a person for God, you've got to win their confidence. Got to win their confidence. Before you reach anybody for God, you've got to live the life before them so they can see Christ in your life and how you live. Preacher gave an illustration last Tuesday at a fellowship meeting a week ago Tuesday. Brother Tom Sexton. He said when he got saved, he smoked. And God called him to preach and he still kept on smoking. He said he was at the plant one day and he began to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. And the man saw the pack of cigarettes in his pocket and he said, "Don't you ever talk to me about Christ as long as you have that in your pocket." And Tom Sexton said, "I can't smoke on the job because if I smoke on the job, they're going to see it. So I just smoke at home." Got home and his wife said, "You can't smoke at home and smell up the house and mess me up because I'm saved." He said, "Well, I can't smoke on the job and I can't smoke at home. I'll smoke in my car." So he was limited to smoking in his car. Oh, wait a minute, I left out something. I knew I would. He said, "I went to church." I said, "Well, got that pack of cigarettes. Be all right singing the choir, pack of cigarettes in my pocket." And said the Holy Spirit convicted him and said, "How can you sing with that in your pocket and sing for the glory of God?" And he said, "Well, I can't smoke at church and I can't smoke at home and I can't smoke on the job." And then he said, "I'll smoke in my car." And he got in his car and was smoking and he said, the Holy Spirit reminded him his body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Now I can't even smoke in my car." But he said, "I gave him up for the gospel's sake so that I could reach someone for Jesus Christ." If we're going to reach them, we must live before them what we say we are. You say, "Well, preacher, God's never convicted me about use of tobacco or whatever." You better be open to God, is all I got to say. My brother chewed tobacco before he got saved. He chewed tobacco for 35 years. He started chewing when he was 3 years old. That's the nastiest habit. And after he got saved, he began witnessing on his job and he was witnessing to a man down at a store and he was spitting. And the Holy Spirit said, "Son, how can you witness to him when you got that in your mouth and you're spitting before him? You can't be a witness to him." And my brother finally, after 37 years, gave it up so he could be a witness to someone else. Whatever it may be in your life that's affecting you, you better give it up for the gospel's sake so that someone else can see your life Because you see, you're sowing the seed. You're sowing. And they're watching what you do. Amen. Amen. If there's going to be some reaping, there's got to be some sowing. There's got to be some living before you can ever reap. You know what God's made us? Word sowers. Just sow it. 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 Just give it out. Just preach it. Just preach it, Brother Ray. 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 Give it out and sow it. And sow it, and one day there'll be a harvest. One day you'll reap. Had a man came to my church one time. He's a Lutheran. I'll tell you this, and then I'll get on here. He's a Lutheran. And he made a statement. He said, "Now, I'd join High Point Baptist Church if I didn't have to be rebaptized." He said, "I was baptized as a kid, and I ain't going to be rebaptized." Then they got upset about something, and they quit coming. And the Lord didn't impress my heart to go by their house and talk to them. About 6 months later, they started coming back to church. Oh, by the way, what I meant to say was, every time he had come, Brother Ray, God gave me a message on grace. On grace of God. Had to be saved by grace. He came back in February, and he, first Sunday, came back about two-thirds of the way back. And God gave me a message on grace. And when I preached, I saw a little tear come to his eye. The next Sunday, he sat a third of the way from the front. And while I preached, I saw him weeping. And I preached on grace that Sunday. And when he went out that morning, he said, "Preacher, I know you're busy, but could you come to my house and talk to me? I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay, I'll be there Monday night." And about 7 o'clock, and he said, "No, I'm a farmer, make it 7:30. I said, "Okay." I walked in his house. The first thing he said to me, he said, "I thought when a person quit coming to church that all Baptist preachers visited her house and tried to get them to come back." And he said, "I'm so glad you didn't come." He said, "I was going to say that you were harassing me and I was never going to come back." And he said, "All this time God's been dealing with me. All this time, God's been dealing with me." And he said, "One time I asked my wife, she thought I was saved, and she said no. She said it made me mad, and I threw a fit. But," he said, "Preacher, I got saved a week or so ago. And said, I won't join your church, and I won't be baptized. And I gave that illustration to say, just give out the word. And one of these days it'll work. One of these days it'll bring forth fruit. Just give it out. Just sow it. 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 Just keep on sowing. Just keep on sowing. Just keep on planting. Just keep on setting the taters and the cabbage and planting the corn. One day you're going to harvest." Amen. We're farmers. Give out the gospel. And I've got one other thing. I've got 3 minutes. And I'm going to give this, and then I'm going to hush. Y'all been a good crowd tonight. Thank you. Not only are we a son, a soldier, athlete, and a farmer, he wants to be a good student. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to study the word of God. Not only read it, study it. Learn it. You know, Brother Ray, I love it when I have church members that sit at the front and they're taking notes and they want to say, come on, preacher, give me something today. Give me something today. Give me something today. Give me something today. Come on, preacher. You're doing a good job, son. Preach. Just give me something. If I want to hear a message, I want to get something in it for myself. That will help me learn and help me study and help me know a little bit more about this book. This book, the greatest book of all books. Study this book real quick. This book contains the gospel. This book contains salvation. This book contains about deity of Christ and God. The Holy Spirit tells us about angels and tells us about sin and Satan and man and law and grace and last things and judgment and second coming and prophecies and dispensations. We need to study this book and hear what God says in His book. Amen. I tell you, I like what preachers say, and I like what writers say, but after it's all over with, I want to know what this book says. I want to read it and study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study it out. Find out what God says about it. Amen. Got to spend some time with it. What you get on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night is not near enough of what you need. Amen? Study it. Have a private time that you can study it. Have a private time that you can read it. This is the greatest book of all books. And then he calls us a vessel and also a servant, but I'm not going to deal with that tonight because our time has come and gone. You're a good son, good soldier, good athlete, good farmer, good student. May God help us. Let's bow our heads. Father, take this message and drive it home to our hearts and to our lives. And I feel like, Lord, not said much, but take the few scattered remarks and touch our hearts tonight with them and bless us as we go. In Jesus' name.